They hung him high. They stretched him wide. He hung his head, and then he died. It is difficult to express in words the transformative power of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in our lives. The truth is, it is better experienced than explained. Maybe that is why the disciples had to go to the tomb to see for themselves that Jesus had risen, even after the women had told them what they had found. This Easter, let's experience the good news of the empty tomb, fresh and new. Let the hope of Christ renew your mind, change your heart, and transform your life. Good morning, church and family and visiting friends. Happy Easter. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Today, the Universal Church will celebrate its belief in the resurrected Jesus Christ and the transformative power that comes from him being alive and at work in our lives. What looked like defeat on Friday turned into victory as Jesus overcame sin and death to rise from the grave on that Sunday. Easter is a story of victory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now with joy in our hearts, with thanksgiving in our minds, and just overwhelmed with love, understanding, and the love that you had for us when your Son came willingly sacrifice this life for us, a sinner like us. We were dead in our trespasses and sin. But Lord, because of your faithful love, your undying love, your overwhelming love, your Son gave his life for us. And so we thank you for this day that we can come to commemorate that occasion, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They thought they had him. They thought they had done him and forgiven. But on that Sunday, he got up with all power in his hand. And we thank you for that because that has a great impact on all of us today. I ask, O Heavenly Father, that you anoint me to deliver your word, that the hearers of your word would receive it and understand the precious, precious life of Jesus and that he loved us so much. So, Father, have your way today, I pray, in Jesus' name. I love to hear a good story of triumph and victory, don't you? I just love to hear one. One where someone overcomes all odds to rise above the rest. One where there is unbelievable effort immortalizes them and ensures that they are remembered for all times. One such moment happened in 1989. I don't know how many of you are sports fan or basketball fans, but a moment like that happened in 1989 when Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls were facing off with the Cleveland Cavaliers in the first round of the Eastern Conference Final. As the seconds ticked off the clock at the end of the game, Jordan shot the basketball at the hoop and the shot became engraved in basketball lore, a masterpiece of athleticism and precision. The Bulls won the game in electric fashion. The elevation that defied gravity and the legendary precision of that shot as time expired makes it one of the most memorable moments in sports history. But describing it in words falls short of the powerful impact felt when witnessing that moment firsthand, of being there, of seeing it live. If someone was given a chance to go back in time and be present for one moment in sports and experience the environment of the crowd, I think choosing to see the shot in person might be high on that list. When we experience powerful moments like this, we never forget them. They have the power to shape and mold us for the future. Easter is the time of year when we remember the biggest, most critical moment that changed the world forever. Early in the morning, 3 days after Jesus' crucifixion, two women went to the tomb to deliver spices and perfume to the body of Jesus. When they arrived, they experienced something that would have been difficult to put in words. My scripture today is coming from Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12, Ephesians 3, 16 through 19, and then Romans chapter 1, verse 16. But first, let's read the first 8 verses in Luke 24. And it goes like this. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. The tomb of Jesus had been sealed by a massive stone that was rolled across the entrance. And to their surprise, when they arrived, that stone had been rolled away. Inside the tomb was empty. Jesus' body was nowhere to be found. Suddenly, two angels of the Lord appeared before them. The women were terrified and they hid their faces. The angels told them that Jesus was no longer dead. He was alive and he would not be found in the grave. You know, some things are better experienced than explained. I know at times when I'm so excited about something that I've experienced and I've tried to explain it, then before I could explain, I said, you just have to see it for yourself. Sometimes you just have to be there. It's better than explain it. So the women quickly rushed off to find the disciples to deliver the good news that Jesus had risen from the dead. But how? How do you tell someone a story like this? How would you possibly get others to imagine, let alone believe, that this huge stone had been rolled away? Angels gleaming bright in an empty tomb where the crucified Savior once was. It would be almost impossible. It would be like trying to explain to someone what it was like seeing the shot in person. I feel like this is true of Easter. How could we possibly explain from the pulpit or to anyone such a wonderful, powerful, and life-changing event like the resurrection? It is better experienced than explained. There is this pastor that tells a story of him growing up in the church and hearing the story of Easter every year. He saw the resurrection of Jesus played out on a flannograph. For those of you who don't know what a flannograph is a storytelling system that uses a board covered with flannel. He sang about it in songs. He watched movies depicting the miraculous moments. But he said that all of it seemed more like legend than truth to him. It was not really until he was in middle school that he began to experience Jesus on his own. It was on a mission trip to Mexico that he encountered the power of the living Christ through serving others. The resurrection was no longer a story that was told to him, but was now a story he experienced himself. He had met Jesus, and his life was changed forever. This is exactly what happened after the women leave the tomb. When they tell the story of what they have seen, the disciples can't believe it. In verses 9 through 12, it says, when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. The Bible says that the words that the women were speaking seemed like nonsense. Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to see for himself. But when he arrived, he went inside and saw the strips of linen that once covered Jesus' body lying there by themselves. Peter's life would never be the same from that moment on. The miracle of Easter changed everything for him. In case I forgot to tell you, the title of the message is Easter Changes Everything. See, Easter changes everything because we encounter the love of God. The reason why it is so important to not just hear the Easter story or engage it intellectually, but to experience it fully is because Easter brings into focus the incredible love of God. It has been said that if Christmas is the promise, Easter is the proof. The proof of what? That we are indeed loved by God and that he has gone to extraordinary lengths to forgive us of our sin and give us new life. The Apostle Paul, he's a great missionary for Jesus, writes a prayer to the early church in Ephesus with this in mind, in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. The prayer he writes, he says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, but you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. God's love for us is so incredible that Paul prays for them to experience its fullness. So the same pastor that I mentioned earlier said that it is rather like when he saw the ocean for the first time. He was from Indiana, and so he never saw the actual ocean until he was in high school. He had seen it in movies, seen it in pictures, and heard people describe it. But nothing could prepare him for when he actually walked to the water's edge for the first time. He said he was blown away. He said no film could capture its splendor. No picture could convey its magnitude. And the only way to truly appreciate the ocean is to experience it in person for yourself. For Paul, it is not enough for the people in the church of Ephesus to be aware of what the death and resurrection of Christ means for them. He wants them to grasp. He wants them to understand how wide and long and deep the love of Christ is. That is my prayer for all of us today as well. I pray that as we remember that old rugged cross and the nail-scarred hands that took our sin, as we recall the rolled-away stone, an empty tomb that offers us power over sin and death, that we would be able to sense how amazing, how wonderful, and how incredibly mind-blowing Christ's love is for us. We are the reason why he endured all that he endured. Eternal salvation and redemption is the joy that was set before him that caused him to offer his life willingly. As Hebrews 12:2 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. It is God's love that changes us. And I want you to hear me today. The truest thing about you is that you are loved by God. He loves you just the way you are, and he loves you too much to leave you that way. He knows your shortcomings, your blemishes. He's aware of your mistakes and sins. And this is the very reason for Easter, motivated by love for his creation. God sent Jesus to die for you and for me. He is alive. The tomb is empty. And there is hope available to those who place their faith and trust in him. Do others experience Jesus when they encounter you? Think about that question. Do others experience Jesus when they encounter you? There is a reason, saints, that Christians gather together for worship. It is meant to be a time to remember that Easter was not just a single moment in history long ago, but it is meant to be a daily reality for every Christian. We are meant to be Easter people who live and relate to others out of hope, out of the hope, the love, and enjoy that, and the joy that is offered to us through the resurrection. We are meant to be people who tell this incredible story to us by the way we live our lives. Paul writes about it as well in the book of Romans. In the book of Romans, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile." He urges his readers not to be ashamed of the gospel, because it is the very power of God for salvation for everyone. Saints, we cannot afford to be timid or embarrassed to let others know by word or deed about what Jesus has done for us. It is a matter of life and death. It is a matter of heaven or hell. It is a matter of hope and despair. Ask yourself this. Do people leave my presence? Do people leave your presence with a greater sense that Jesus is alive today? Do people experience the love of Jesus when they spend time with you? You may be the only Jesus. You may be the only Jesus someone ever encounters, and the only Bible someone might ever read. This world, you know the condition of it. This shattered world that we live in needs those who have been transformed by the love of God to share it freely in word and also in deed. And as I draw to a close, according to the book Life of Francis de Assisi, Francis once invited a young monk to join him on a trip to town to preach. Honored to be given the invitation, the monk readily accepted. All day long, he and Francis walked through the streets, byways and alleys, and even into the suburbs. They rubbed their shoulders and with hundreds of people. At day's end, the two headed back home. Not even once had Francis addressed a crowd, nor had he talked to anyone about the gospel. Greatly disappointed, his young companion said, "I thought we were going into town to preach." And then Francis responded, "My son, we have preached. We were preaching while we were walking. We were seen by many, and our behavior was closely watched. It is of no use to walk anywhere to preach unless we preach everywhere as we walk." That was taken from the Daily Grid, December 15, 1991 issue. That story may remind you today that you need to be more intentional about living for Jesus and sharing him with others. Or maybe today you need an Easter experience that will change your life. The truth is, this resurrection life is better experienced than it is explained. Maybe that is why the disciples had to go to the tomb to see for themselves that Jesus wasn't there. They needed to see the empty tomb with their own eyes. This Easter, you can respond to the empty tomb by placing your faith in the living Christ and receiving the power of the resurrection. All it takes is a simple prayer of confession. Confess your sin, repent, and ask the risen Jesus into your life. Today we celebrate the hope we have in Jesus, the power of the resurrection, and the reality of the empty tomb. Let this hope renew your mind, change your heart, and transform your life. It's the greatest decision you can ever make, because he's not dead. He lives.